Good to see everyone. Beautiful day. Hope that you have been edified and encouraged so far this morning. As we open our Bibles now together, I want to invite you to consider some things from the Word of God that truly are important for us, especially in our day and time. We're going to be discussing the issue of money. The issue of money. There are some things that money can't buy. And I think that most all of us recognize that. So that's going to be our subject. Say, good to see everyone, especially our visitors. We do have visitors with us. This is your first time to be with us. Fill out a visitor's card. Appreciate very much you being with us. And I hope that you plan to come back and be with us again at every opportunity that you have. Pray that also, as we are opening our Bibles together, that we will all sincerely examine ourselves and our own motives and our own values. It's very important that we establish within our own minds and our own hearts the values that pleases God. That is our, I hope, that is our objective in life. And as we think about these things together, we will be encouraged together. There are simply some things that money cannot buy. I think most all of us understand that. And I want to begin our study this morning from the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and begin verse 19. There Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever our values truly lie, whatever is truly most important to us, that is where our heart will be. That's where our focus will be. That's what our life will center around, even if we don't recognize it. We may say with our mouth and honor God with our lips and say, "I love God, God is first, I seek you first in all things," and then we live totally differently than what we profess with our mouth. We need to examine our own hearts. Where is your treasure? There are some things that money can't buy. Heaven is certainly one of those things. A right relationship with God, most definitely one of those things. I tell you, though, money can buy some things. You know, Matthew 6, going on down to verse 25, Jesus says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, and what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you or nor about your body, what you will put on." Now, think about this. I can buy food to eat if I've got money. I can buy clothes to wear. I've got money. I can buy a roof to put over my head if I've got money. There are some things that money can buy. But it's interesting, Jesus is saying, don't worry about these things. What are we to focus on? Things that money can't buy. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Well, sure it is. Absolutely. Life is really to be centered, if it's going to be a successful life, a peaceful, joyful life, a life that is truly lived, is one that's based upon things that money cannot buy. Period. Someone once said, "So that person is so poor, all he has is money." A lot of people in that boat. They're so poor that all they have is money. And my friend, we really do not know how wealthy we are until we stop and we focus on and we count the blessings that we have that money cannot buy. And the more blessings that we have that money cannot buy, the richer we are. Don't worry about the things that are in this world. Focus on the things of God. Now I want to turn over to Acts, the 8th chapter. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 24, we find the gospel being spread into Samaria. The Samaritans had believed and were baptized. Simon also, who was a sorcerer, believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip the evangelist.
seeing the miracles that were done. So word got back to Jerusalem that the gospel had been preached in Samaria. Verse 14, we're picking up now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon, that's that sorcerer, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Simon wanted the same power that the apostles Peter and John had. He wanted to be able to go to someone else and lay his hand on them and give them the power to perform miracles. And Simon is offering to purchase this with money. Can the gift of God be purchased with money? Well, of course not. Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." Now, Simon seems to be a good guy. You know, he'd believed the gospel. He had turned away from his sorcery. He had believed the gospel and he had been baptized just like the others. And he continued with Philip and he was watching and seeing the signs, the miracles that were being performed. And when Peter and John comes down, he marvels at their power. And he offers them some money for that power. I'm not going to be guilty of ascribing to Simon, you know, sinister motives. Certainly he had some false motives. Certainly there was something in his heart, as Peter said, that was not right. There was some kind of covetousness there that he thought that if he had this, it would benefit him greatly. So he offered them money for it. But I think we can also see in Simon's heart a little bit about the type of heart he really had when Peter explained to him that this motivation, that this is sinful, that this is wrong, and your heart is not right with God, you don't have a part or a lot in this matter, and that your money is going to perish with you. He woke up. He said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of these things you've said will come upon me." Sometimes we can lose our focus on what's really important and become fascinated and enthralled with the money, with things, with stuff, and forget what's really important and kind of lose our way. And so, think about this. There are many things, and these are the things that are really most important, that cannot be purchased by money. Now, before I go any further, let me clarify some things. First of all, the Bible does teach that there is value in money. Okay, there is real value in money in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 12. Money is a defense. Okay, money has its purpose. Money is to be used, however, in a godly way. It is to be used in a right way. It is to be used to benefit man, to provide. Earth's currency is important while we are here on this earth for the things necessary for the body, like the food and the clothing. It's got its purpose. But again, this should not be what our life revolves around, because our life is not to be about money. In Luke the 12th chapter, Jesus says this in verse 15. He says, and this is in response to some Jews arguing, wanting Jesus to be an arbiter between them and a disagreement that they had regarding an inheritance. Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no more room to store my crops? So I said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things which you have provided be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Life is not about money. And we need to realize that truth. Money does not determine our worth or our value. James, the second chapter, in verses 1 through 13. Man comes into the assembly who's wearing nice clothes, and we bow down to that fellow and we say, you sit here in the best seat in the house. We give him respect. We pay certain respect to him, but then this man comes in rags, and he's dirty and he stinks, and we want to put him over in the corner and perhaps even outside. Maybe put him over there where he can hear from through a speaker. But we don't want to associate with him. Why? We have valued the rich man over the poor man. Why? What does that have to do with money? Does just because one man has more money than another man, does that mean he's a better man or more valuable of a man? Is his soul any more valuable than the poor man's soul? Is Bill Gates' soul any more valuable than a homeless man who lives on the streets in Little Rock, Arkansas? Money does not determine your value nor my value. Money does not determine one's worth. Money is character neutral, but it does reveal one's character. Being rich in and of itself is not a sin. Being poor in and of itself is not a sin. The amount of money that I have in my bank account does not make me a sinner. It's how I view that money. It's how much I love that money. It's the worth that I place on that money, the value that I place on that money, the focus that I place on that money compared to spiritual things that makes it sinful. And Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 25, there was a young man who rejected Jesus Christ and rejected the gospel. Why? Because he was rich. As read in the scripture reading, he turned away from Jesus Christ. He turned away and went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had much money, many riches. He was rich. And he wasn't willing to give it up. In Acts 4, in verse 37, brethren were willing to give all that they had to help one another. It's how we use what we have that is the determining factor. Acts the 8th chapter and verse 18. What about Simon the sorcerer again? Want to buy God's gifts with money? You can't do that. Chapter 24 and verse 25 and 26. Felix thought that he was going to keep Paul in prison. And he would call Paul to him several times during the time of his reign to hear from him, but he kept him in prison hoping that he would get some money from him. He's greedy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, we're told, we all know this, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But it's the love of money that's the problem. Character is revealed by money. Money, all of it, everything in this world actually belongs to God. It's His anyway. Haggai 2 and verse 8, the silver and the gold, they are mine, God said. Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 and 9, will a man rob God? How do we rob God? By not giving back God to God what He owns already, what He deserves. Showing Him honor and respect with our possessions. Will a man rob God? It belongs to him anyway. What are we going to do with it? The principle of stewardship is taught throughout the scriptures, and Jesus enforces it very clearly in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 28. Three different men are given different amounts of money, and they're held accountable in how they use that money. And of course, the spiritual principle is we're given certain gifts, we're given abilities, we're to use those, we're to put those to work. But the reality is we are stewards of everything that God has blessed us with. How do we use those things? So, what are some things that money cannot buy? Some things money cannot buy. You know, love, family, friends. Interesting. Proverbs 19, verses 4 through 11 says that wealth draws friends, or wealth creates friends. In fact, it makes that point a couple of times, but the poor drives friends far from him. I just said that love, family, and friends can't be purchased with money, and then the proverb writer says that, well, listen, there's a difference between a real friend and a professed friend. In the context, the proverb writer is talking about the power and the benefits of being in power and wealthy and what it appears to be. The proverb writer also says that if a man is to have friends, he is to be friendly. He's to be gracious and kind, Proverbs 22 and verse 11. It's not money that's going to win a true friend. Because what's going to happen if someone is drawn to you because of money, they're your friend because of money, what's going to happen when that money's all gone? They're not going to be around, are they? A true friend is closer than a brother. It doesn't matter what times bring in your life, whether they be good or bad, a true friend is going to be there regardless. Unconditional friendship cannot be bought by money. It can't be. Family. You can't buy family with money. People are not objects to be purchased with money. But I'll say to you that love and love of God certainly cannot be purchased by money. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God so loved that he gave. Listen, love is sacrificial. Sacrificial. Love gives, most definitely. But it's not money. That's the focus. Love is the giving of oneself. And for me to receive love from another is something that cannot be bought. Now, Clayton and Eric sitting up here, I wonder, what price tag would you put on the love that you receive from that little boy? See? You can't. The joy that it gives you, the comfort, the love, it's indescribable. You can't put a price tag on that. Love can't be bought. Families cannot be purchased with money. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Here's the example. Christ, he loved the church so much that what did he give? He gave his own life. Couldn't purchase the church with money. Nor can you purchase a wife with money. Wives cannot purchase husbands with money. It doesn't work that way. Love is the thing that binds you together. You cannot pay for that. A godly home. You cannot pay for a godly home. Now, you may be able to buy Bibles and you may be able to buy books that can help you and enlighten you, but just having that Bible or that book on the shelf does not help you unless you do what? You read it, you take the time, you invest the time to read it and think about it and apply those things. Listen, a godly home is not purchased with money. It takes love, discipline, realizing that, you know, a home is from God. A family is from God. And so we need to turn to God to learn how to have this godly home. You can't buy it or pay for it. And children that are paid for, that are bought and given everything that they want. You know, there are some parents who are not on spanking terms with their children. And those children wind up in a lot of trouble. And many parents, what they do is they give their child everything they want. They spend all the money that they have on those children trying to make them happy. You know what? I found something very interesting. The girls, Mackenzie and Maddie, they've demonstrated this over and over and over again. One of their favorite toys that seems to have excited them more than anything else. Oh, they love their scooter and they love other things. We were at a restaurant and there were these little 25-cent bubble gum things. You know, they had those little toys in them. And so they asked me for a quarter for that. Maddie Mae got her this little thing that stretched and it stuck to anything that it touched, and she threw it up on the ceiling in the living room and it stuck to the ceiling. Oh, she was heartbroken. 25-cent toy stuck on our ceiling and she's heartbroken about it. It's not the money. You know, I was just as happy when I was a kid with a stick and a shovel to dig a hole and with little bitty army men that cost a dollar for a whole big bag of them. And I just sit out there and play for hours. It's not the money. But for a godly home, it's the love that we put into it. It's the time and the effort that we spend raising our children, teaching them, training them. It's not about how much money and stuff we can buy them, where we can take them. It's about time that we give to them. A good name. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is far above rubies. You cannot pay for a good name. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1. What kind of value would you place on your reputation? But not just your reputation, of course, before men, but most importantly, before God. What price do you place on that? Hebrews 11 and verse 39, you know what Moses did? Moses gave up everything that he had in Egypt. He was the son of a Pharaoh. Adopted, yes, but a son of the Pharaoh. And all the riches, the whole country lay before him. He could have had anything he wanted. And what did he do? He gave it all up. He considered the riches of Christ, the suffering of Christ, the reproach of Christ, more valuable than all the treasures of Egypt. And because of that choice, we find his name written in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 39, as a hero of faith, along with all the others that are listed there. They had a good name. They obtained a good report. A good name. Honesty and integrity. You cannot buy honesty and integrity. I tell you what, money has a way of corrupting our honesty and our integrity, our character. A person, and you know, we think, boy, it sure would be great if I were to win the Publisher Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, you kind of daydream about that a little bit. Just look at all that I could do with it. That's very true. Or the lottery. You shouldn't be playing the lottery anyway, by the way. But I just think about it. People all over the world, all over the country, and they'll go in, they'll stand in line, especially when the numbers get way on up there. They'll go in there and they'll spend their dollar or $5 or whatever to buy a lottery ticket, just dreaming that they get that mega prize. How many lives has that mega prize ruined? Many people don't know how to handle that money to begin with. There are people in this world that are filthy rich, but they're the most miserable people you'd ever want to meet. Unhappy. All they're worried about is losing what they got. A good name, honesty, integrity, character. Not determined by money, cannot be purchased by money. Position, our abilities in the church cannot be purchased by money. Again, Simon the Sorcerer, Acts the 8th chapter. I cannot pay and purchase my abilities. They're God-given. Now, it's my responsibility to increase them and to improve them. And it may be money involved in buying books, and it may be money involved in going to school. It may be involved in other things that will help to enhance the abilities that God's given me. But you know, if you cannot hold a tune in a bucket to save your life, you've never been able to hold a tune in a bucket to save your life, piano lessons are not going to help you sing any better. You may learn how to play a piano, but they're not going to help you singing. If you can't sing, you can't sing. Vocal lessons will not help. When it comes to the church, my friend, we cannot. In fact, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3, one of the qualifications is for an elder, not greedy for money. Our position, in fact, Matthew 19, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Those who seek for power and authority are the least, and they are going about it the wrong way. Our position and our abilities are God-given, and it's when we submit wholly to God's will that those abilities are able to come out and be accepted and used by others, and encouragement to others. Our health. Oh, you know what? I may have a lot of money, and I may be able to pay for the best treatments, the best experimental treatments. You know how many movie stars die every year? They got all kinds of money. Baseball players and athletes make all kinds of money, millions of dollars a year. They still die. Their bodies get all banged up. Now, they may be able to purchase special treatments to help relieve some of their pain. But you know what? All the money that you have will not guarantee good health. It may buy you medicine, but it cannot buy you health. Time and life. You know, Bill Gates doesn't have 1 second more a day than I do. You know that? Not one. Now, he may be able to better and more effectively use some of his time, but you can't buy a second or a minute or an hour. You cannot add any to your life. You may take medicine, you may be in a part of the world, you may have money so that you can have the best access to certain health care that will live, you'll live longer. You know what, I wonder about that too. We extend our life by taking medications, and those medications make us sick, and they make us where we cannot do certain other things. They cause us to lose our mind, and we're taking this medicine to help this disease, and then that medicine causes another problem that we have, so we take another pill for that, and then another pill for the side effects of that, and then more pills for the side effects of those, and it just keeps on going and going and going. But money cannot buy time or life. You know, rich people do die. Glenn Fry died of rheumatoid arthritis and complications from medication from rheumatoid arthritis. 67 years old. He had more money than I'll ever dream of having. 67 years old. Died of rheumatoid arthritis. Yeah, money is helpful in some things. But my friend, money cannot buy life. There are many more things more important than money. I'll tell you something, and now we're going to get to the real important stuff. Money cannot buy my redemption. In Psalm 49 and verses 6 through 9, you cannot redeem someone else. You cannot redeem yourself. All the good works, all the good deeds that I may do, all the money that I may throw at God's people and God's church, and I give everything that I have. But all of the works that I may do, all the things that I may give, cannot redeem me. from my sin. What is the price of my redemption? 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 through 21 tells us, the price of our redemption is the precious blood of Christ, far more valuable than rubies, gold and silver, far more valuable than anything in this world. Our souls are redeemed by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is not enough money, never will be enough money, to pay off one, just one sin. It took the precious blood of Jesus. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's way. You can't buy that with money. The psalmist understood that over and over in Psalms 119. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. More valuable than rubies and silver and gold. Anything that you can imagine. The proverb writer puts it in perspective for us several times. In Proverbs the 3rd chapter and verse 14. Proverbs the 8th chapter. Over and over and over, what we find is the value of God's word, his knowledge, his wisdom. In verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 3. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God. In God's way. What's more valuable than that? Do we place the proper value in our own life upon God's word? Knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Godliness, the fruit of the Spirit, cannot be purchased with money. In fact, you think about the things that the Apostle Paul lists in Galatians 5 and verse 22. Love. I already talked a little bit about that, but think about it. Can you purchase love? Nope. Joy. Say, well, hey, I can buy a yacht, and that's pretty close to the same thing. No, not really. What's going to happen to that yacht? What's going to happen to it? In fact, anything you can buy with money, what will eventually happen to it? Joy is not purchased by money. A person who has absolutely no money can have greater joy than you who has all these millions of dollars in the bank can ever have without Christ. If a poor man has Jesus, my friend, he's got more. He's got enough. He's got more than any rich man will ever have that doesn't have Jesus. Joy, true joy. Peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not purchased with money. These things are produced by the Spirit through the Word into our own lives. This is our character, or should be. Can't buy these things with money. You think about contentment and peace and joy. Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 13. Paul went through a lot in his life as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He suffered immensely, but yet he had joy. And he spoke of this joy quite often, but especially in the book of Philippians, often called the book of joy. And he emphasizes in chapter 4 and verses 6 through 13 that, you know, peace is something. We're all to be grateful with everything, to God in everything in prayer. And when we do the things that have been revealed to us by God, Paul promises that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. He goes on and he talks about how he had learned contentment in all things, whether he had much or he didn't have anything. He learned contentment. He can do all things through Christ who strengthened him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because my life is not based upon money or temporary things. My life is based upon Jesus Christ, the one who created all things. And the one who owns all things. That is who I am living for. Deliverance from God's judgment. Listen, you're there on the day of judgment. You're standing there before God in your sin. You're standing there lost. You can't even pull out your billfold. You know it? You know they won't have it there with you. You're going to be before God naked. You're going to be there with all that you'll have is you. No money. And what would God care if you could give Him the whole world? You cannot buy your way out of God's judgment. Every work. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then he goes on and says that every work will be brought into judgment. We're all going to be there. And my money will have no part of it, except how I used it. Did I use it for God's glory or not? In James, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5, James is talking about the wealthy who persecuted Christians in chapter 5 and verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently. Now, he's talking to Christians. They're to be patient. They're to hold on. Why? Because they're suffering. From whose hands are they suffering? You go back up in the chapter in verses 1 through 5 and you'll find out those who are rich. And he says, you weep and howl, talking to the rich there in verse 1, for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are covered, are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures to the last days. They were in trouble. I cannot buy myself out of God's judgment. Can't bargain with Him. Can't deal with Him about my sin. Any spiritual blessing. In fact, if you stop and you think about every spiritual blessing that Christ provides, which one can be bought with money? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, all the way down through verse 21, but especially through verse 14, we have a list of spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Verse 3 says all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Every one of them. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, then you do not have these spiritual blessings. But he talks about the concept of being chosen or elect. All who are in Christ are in that chosen body. All who are in Christ are in that predetermined sphere in which God said was His. Chosen. A child of God, you're adopted into the family of God. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're adopted into Christ, into God's family. The child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3 and verse 26. Accepted by God. Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. If you're in Christ, you're forgiven of your sins. And you have a heavenly inheritance. Can't be bought with money. What would you give? What would you give to have heaven as your eternal home? What would you give? How much money would you give? For many, you know, that would be a pretty interesting thought. They would love to just pay their way into heaven. Doesn't work like that. Let me tell you what it costs. It's not money. But it does cost something. What does it cost? It costs you. Take up your cross and follow Christ. That's what it costs. Deny yourself. That's what it costs. Following Jesus Christ, obeying His word by faith, living in accordance with His will, that's what it costs you. Your all. Your whole self. That's what it costs. But even when you pay that price and you pay all that you have and all... Listen, you're still not paying for it. It's still not deserved. It's still not earned. You're receiving something that you could never earn. You cannot buy a right relationship with God. It's impossible. But by His grace and His love, He has offered an opportunity for all men to enter into a right relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is when we, and only when we trust, we believe, and we obey, we surrender ourselves wholly to Him, that is the only way to have this right relationship. You cannot pay off, you cannot work off, you cannot deal away your sin. Your sin can only be and is only paid for by the blood of Christ. Nothing else. There's no other payment that would work. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot buy your way into heaven. It takes sacrifice and surrender. It takes faith and obedience. There's the question then. Have we by faith submitted to, totally surrendered ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ? Humbly yielding our will to Christ's will. Letting Him truly be Lord in all things, including our money. And truly putting Him first in everything. Is that how we are currently living our lives? Have we by faith humbly submitted our will to Christ's will in everything? Another question, are we growing in Christ? Listen, I cannot purchase and pay for spiritual growth. It takes effort, it takes time, it takes study, it takes practice. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Add to your faith virtue and a virtue knowledge. Knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godly kindness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things are in you, you will never stumble. Are we growing that way? Are we truly growing in Christ? Are we truly putting spiritual things first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Acts 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter, as he's giving the invitation to a group of people who had come to observe the feast of Pentecost. And they're drawn together by the signs, the commotion that's going on at the temple as the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the apostles. And they're all there and the gospel is preached for the very first time. And what does Peter preach? He preaches the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been crucified by you, he said. You have by wicked hands crucified and slain Him. This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up and made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the response was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are we willing to surrender and submit? Are we willing to continue to learn, to grow, to dedicate our lives to the one who died for us? Listen, we were bought with a price. Now what do we owe God? And in fact, if we were to think about it like that, the Lord even said, He said, if you do everything that you're commanded to do, you're still an unprofitable servant. And that's so true. But the love of God has offered to us an opportunity to be saved and have heaven as our home. If we'll but surrender, yield, trust, and obey, and continue to grow, heaven will be our home. But I want you to look at it like this, though. What if you had everything that this world had to offer? Everything. Anything and everything. And you lost your soul. And now you're before God on the day of judgment. How much of what you had gained in your lifetime would you be willing to give up now to get into heaven? All of it, right? Every bit of it. You'd be willing at that moment to trade it all in. But sadly, it's too late then. It's too late. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My friend, you don't have a more valuable possession. You cannot buy it with money. You cannot preserve it with money. What about faith? What about submission to God? If you're here this morning, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you need to return to the Lord who died for you, let us help you. As we stand and sing, won't you come?